chance of distinguishing himself by gift of speech. Marner was highly thought of in that little hidden world known to itself as the church assembling in Lantern Yard. He was believed to be a young man of exemplary life and ardent faith, and a peculiar interest had been centered in him ever since he had fallen, at a prayer meeting, into a mysterious rigidity and suspension of consciousness, which, lasting for an hour or more, had been mistaken for death. To have sought a medical explanation for this phenomenon would have been held by Silas himself, as well as by his minister and fellow members, a willful self-exclusion from the spiritual significance that might lie therein. Silas was evidently a brother selected for a peculiar discipline, and through the effort to interpret this discipline was discouraged by the absence of any spiritual vision. Its effect was seen as an ascension of light and fervor. Silas was both sane and honest. There was among members of his church a young man, a little older than Silas, who became his best friend. Almost like David and Jonathan they were. The friend's name was William Dane, and he was regarded too as a shining example of youthful piety. Silas considered him faultless, and one of the favorite topics of their conversation was salvation, and Silas confessed that he could never arrive at anything higher than hope mingled with fear, and listened with longing wonder when William declared that he had possessed unshaken assurance ever since, in the period of his conversion, he had dreamed that he saw the words calling and election sure standing by themselves on a white page in the open Bible. It was therefore no wonder that Silas entertained no suspicions concerning William. For some months, Silas had been engaged to a young servant woman, waiting only for a little increase to their mutual savings in order to marry. So naturally, he did not object to William's occasional presence in their Sunday interviews. In time, William had grown jealous of Silas's love for Sarah, and soon her manner toward Silas began to exhibit strange fluctuations of interest. Silas asked if she desired to break off their engagement, but she denied that there were any problems. At the time, the senior deacon was taken dangerously ill, and Silas took his turn in night watching with William, the one relieving the other at 2 in the morning. It soon seemed that the old man was beginning to recover, and one night Silas, sitting by his bedside, observed that his usual audible breathing had ceased. The candle was burning low, and he had to lift it to see the patient's face distinctly. Examination convinced him that the deacon was dead, and had been dead for some time, for the limbs were rigid. Silas asked himself if he had been asleep, and he looked at the clock. It was 4 in the morning. How was it that William had not come? In much anxiety, he went for help, and after several friends arrived, so did William and the minister. They had come to summon him to Lantern Yard to meet with the other church members. Then the minister, taking out a pocket knife, showed it to Silas, and asked him if he knew where he had left that knife. Silas said that he didn't know, but felt this a strange interrogation. He was then exhorted not to hide his sin. It seems the knife was found in the bureau by the dead deacon, where also a little bag of church money had lain. Silas was mute with astonishment. "God will clear me," he finally said. "I know nothing about the knife being there or even the money. Search me in my dwelling. You will find nothing but £3.5 of my savings." "The proof against you, Brother Marner," said the minister. "William has declared that he did not come as you so testify."
"I must have slept, or I must have had another visitation," countered Silas.
The search was made, and William found the empty bag tucked behind the chest of drawers in Silas's chamber. Marner was stunned with despair. William had left him, and before many hours the minister came to tell him that Sarah held her engagement to him at an end. In little more than a month, Sarah was married to William Dane, and not long afterward it was known to the brethren in Lantern Yard that Silas Marner had left town. Arriving in Raveloe, Silas realized it was a community far different from his own, and he set about working diligently with his loom. Among his first customers was Mrs. Osgood. Silas worked endlessly on her table linens, and at last he was paid in gold, and for the first time in months he had money to buy food. But money became his obsession. He had seemed to love it little in the years when every penny had its purpose for him, for he loved the purpose then.